Scripture passage for this morning is John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. Listen for God's holy word. Then Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Master, come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, for your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. We often say that seeing is believing. And I actually used that expression this week. Lee Bakir posted a picture of himself on Facebook, on social media, supposedly showing that he had given himself a haircut. Now, out of all the people I know in my life, Lee is probably the person who is most interested and involved in using AI, artificial intelligence. So on plenty of church meetings, Lee has shown up and demonstrated his computer's technology's ability using AI to alter his appearance in some way. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry.
It's okay. Come on down. So Lee likes to use AI. In meetings, Lee has shown up on Zoom meetings where his computer is giving him a Pinocchio nose. Have any of you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the computer is tracking his face and finding his nose and then adding another 6 inches to his nose. He's also shown up to meetings with his AI technology on, not realizing it, and it made it look like he was completely bald, okay? The thing finds his eyes and his ears, and it maps a completely bald head on the top of Lee's head. So when I saw Lee post a picture of himself supposedly with a new haircut, my immediate thought and my immediate reaction was, "I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it." Seeing is believing. Sometimes we need to see something in order to believe it. And that fundamental truth about the nature of belief is definitely a theme that is on display in the Gospel of John. The dynamics of sight and belief are some of the themes that John is exploring in his gospel. In the narrative section of the gospel, after the beautiful poetic prologue, John describes John the Baptist as someone who has seen something about Jesus, and so now he believes and he testifies about who Jesus is. John says, "I have seen the Spirit of God descend upon this man. I have seen. And so now I testify about Jesus." The stories where Jesus calls his first disciples are peppered with the vocabulary of seeing. The disciples are seeing things about Jesus. John the Baptist tells his own disciples to see Jesus. He commands them, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Go, see him." When the disciples start to follow Jesus, Jesus turns around and his question to them is about seeing. He says, "What are you looking for?" And then when Jesus is willing to have them come along, he says, "Come and see." And then John tells us that they did. They went and they saw where Jesus was staying. When other disciples invite Nathanael to come to Jesus, again, we see the language of seeing and believing in the passage, in the story. Jesus tells Nathanael that Jesus saw Nathanael sitting under the fig tree, and then Nathanael believes. And Jesus says, "Do you believe because I said that I saw you?" And he says, "You will see greater things." That promise seems to be borne out in the very next story. Jesus turns water into wine at the wedding at Cana. The conclusion of that story again relates the idea of things being revealed. Seeing is believing. The passage tells us that Jesus did this first sign in Cana of Galilee. His glory was revealed, and his disciples believed in him. Seeing is believing. This exploration of seeing and believing continues in the Gospel of John. We're told that Jesus goes down to Jerusalem, and he does signs and wonders in the city, and people believed in him. The next story is the story of Nicodemus, a leader of God's people, a Pharisee in Jerusalem. Nicodemus is portrayed as someone who is struggling with his belief in Jesus. His faith is not full or complete. It has reservations and questions and doubts, but seeing for Nicodemus is believing. He says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who is from God, for no one can do these signs that you have done apart from the presence of God." It kind of seems like Nicodemus doesn't want to believe in Jesus, but he has no choice. He has seen what Jesus is doing, and so something inside of him knows that Jesus must be from God. In our story for today in John chapter 4, John continues to explore this idea of seeing and believing. The nobleman, the ruler, the royal official from Capernaum, he has heard of the signs that Jesus has done. And so he comes to Jesus, and to some degree, he believes. The ruler, the main character in our story, believes that Jesus can help his son. The father comes to Jesus with something, hope or desperation, some form of belief. In his desperate situation, something inside of him believes that Jesus can help. Jesus has already performed signs and wonders, and the stories, the testimonies, the news, the witness about those stories and how they have affected other people's lives, those stories have already reached this ruler's ears and his heart. Seeing is believing. In our lives of faith, this adage about seeing and believing is true. When God shows up in our lives, it leads us to belief. We have experiences where we see or experience something, and it leads us to faith. Maybe we hear the testimony of someone, like John the Baptist giving his testimony to his disciples. John the Baptist told his disciples, "Go, look, see this man Jesus." We have experiences like that in our lives too. For me, that was like my parents and my grandparents and my uncles and aunts and all of the people in the churches that I grew up in. They testified about the importance of Jesus, that there was something there. They said overtly, and they said in the way that they lived their lives, they were saying, look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They were saying, look, listen, pay attention to this guy, Jesus, follow him. Seeing all of those testimonies, hearing all of those testimonies about my family and their commitment to Christ, seeing how they were devoted to him, seeing how they patterned their lives around their relationship to Jesus, that moved me to trust and believe that there must be something about this guy, Jesus. To some degree, I believed in Jesus, his power, his importance, because of the testimony of the faith and devotion of others. Seeing is believing, and I saw how others believed. There are other ways that we see, and it leads us to belief as well. When I was in eighth grade, I needed some help. And for the first time in my life, I reached out to Jesus, and Jesus was there. He showed up for me. I saw him. He helped me through a hard time in my life. And I saw and I felt Jesus looking out for me, giving me courage and strength. I sensed Jesus' presence with me. Maybe you didn't grow up in the church, but maybe at some point in your life, someone came along and told you to reach out and to look and see Jesus. They helped show you Jesus, and seeing Jesus with the eyes of your heart, you came to believe. Maybe you attended a 12-step group where the people in that group and the recovery and the level of control over their addictions that they were experiencing, it made you believe that they must know something that you wanted to know as well. They pointed you in the direction of a higher power, of God and of Jesus. They said, you have to start here. They pointed you in that direction, and seeing what Jesus had done for others, you approached Jesus with something in your heart, believing that Jesus could help you as well. Seeing is believing. In our experiences, we can affirm that this is true. When we see or experience God, when God shows up in our lives, when we are pointed in the direction of God by others who believe, and we go and find God's grace and love for ourselves, we see and we believe. The gospel affirms this adage, the gospel of John. Seeing is believing. But the gospel writer knows that another arrangement is important in our lives of faith as well. The gospel writer challenges us to remember that sometimes with Jesus, we are called to believe in order that we might see. Sometimes the script is flipped. Now, I know that sounds like a stupid cliche that a pastor would say from the pulpit, right? Sometimes you gotta believe in order to see. Sounds like a cliche from a pulpit, but guess what? We don't have a pulpit anymore, so. It sounds like a cliche, but I swear it's more than that. Look again at the situation of the ruler in this story. He comes to Jesus with belief, and Jesus expresses a kind of frustration with the belief that people currently have in Jesus at this point in his ministry. People have seen Jesus' signs and wonders, and so they have believed in him. Seeing is believing. It's true, right? The man asks Jesus to come to his house and heal his son. He's asking for another sign, for another miracle. Come home with me. I want to watch you heal my child. Jesus expresses a kind of frustration with the belief that people have put in him at this point in the story. People like Nicodemus, who believe because, well, they've seen things. Unless you see signs and wonders, Jesus says, you will not believe. In the Greek, in this statement, it's important to note that the you is a plural you. Jesus is talking to just one man, but the yous in the statement are plural. Unless you all see signs, you all will not believe. The passage is not just written as direct history. The passage is written for us, the audience, who is hearing this story. Jesus is saying, unless you all see signs, you will not believe. Jesus is pointing out that the only expression, only one kind of faith has been demonstrated so far in the gospel. It's the kind of faith that depends on sight, seeing is believing. And Jesus, in this passage, is helping his followers into a new experience of faith as well. He lays down the challenge of belief. Jesus essentially says, believe, trust, hang with me, and you will see. Jesus is performing his second sign, but he is also leading us into a second phase of our walk of faith. It's okay to come to Jesus because of what we have seen. But once we believe, once we have put our trust in Jesus, If we actually wish to own Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, then in our lives, we will also at times be challenged to believe, to hang with Jesus, to continue to walk the road that he has sent us down, in order that we will continue to see. It takes trust and it takes commitment. Do you believe that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord? Then at times, we will be challenged to walk the road of faith, trusting in him. We will be challenged to step out in faith, to go, trusting that Jesus' power goes before us and goes with us. We will be challenged to go, not with God's glory at the onset of the journey, but we'll be challenged to go with the promise that God's glory will be revealed when we get to the destination. In the story, the man is given a challenge of faith. The man is asking Jesus to come home with him, to heal his dying son, and Jesus refuses to give the man exactly what he's asking for. Jesus does not agree to go with the man on the journey. But instead, Jesus commands the man to go, to leave Jesus' side, and to make that difficult journey from Cana back to his home in Capernaum alone. Go, Jesus says. Your son will be healed. Go. Walk the journey of faith. Keep your trust in me. I am going to stay here, and you will walk without me physically at your side, but you will trust and believe. Drawing on his belief, the man is told to go. Jesus will not literally hold his hand for the journey, nor will Jesus literally touch his child. The man is challenged to hold his faith in Jesus, to walk by faith. He is asked to trust. He is asked to believe in order to see the healing and the restoration and the new life for which he is asking. The man is asked to walk by faith. And again, this sounds like a cliche, right? I would completely get it if you said, that's a nice point, Pastor, but is that really what this story is all about? This idea that sometimes seeing is believing, but at other times we are challenged to believe, to stick with Jesus, to stick with our faith in order that we might see God's glory revealed, this is a clear theme in John's gospel. At the last of Jesus' signs, the seventh sign, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus' sister Martha is presented with this same challenge of faith. She clearly believes in Jesus. Jesus asks her, "Do you believe?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Now, when it comes to affirmative belief statements in the Gospels, they don't get too much more rich and poignant than that, right? I believe. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. But then, just a few verses later, when Jesus is about to raise Martha's brother Lazarus from the dead, Martha shows that her faith is not complete, right? Jesus commands that the stone be removed from Lazarus's grave, and it's Martha who raises the objection and says, "Maybe that's not the best idea." Yeah, right? He's been dead for a few days, Jesus. Not a great, you know, she doesn't have hope. She doesn't believe that Jesus' power extends this far to give life to the dead, right? And Jesus says to her in that moment, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would what? Does anyone know?
See.
You would see. You would see the glory of God. That you would see the glory of God." Sometimes seeing is believing. But there are other times in our walks of faith where God asks us to believe. And the promise is that if we stick with Jesus, if we follow his commands, if we follow his example, if we walk the road that he gives us to walk, his promise is that the glory will be there when we get to the destination. The challenge is to submit ourselves to Jesus' direction, which is what the ruler does in John chapter 4. He is a royal official. He is a master. He is a lord. He is used to other people taking commands and directions from him. And in the story, he calls Jesus master. He calls Jesus Kurios, a Greek word which means lord. In our English translations, it's often just translated as sir in this passage, which is a terrible translation, right? John is making the point that this Lord, the ruler, is acknowledging Jesus as Lord. He's saying, you are the Lord of my life. I will take direction from you. And Jesus says, go. And this ruler goes. He leaves Jesus' side to make the difficult journey from Cana back to Capernaum, trusting that Jesus' word is good and true, and that God's glory will be revealed when he makes it to the destination. That's our challenge of faith, too. We want to be the lords of our own lives. We want to make decisions about the direction and the path that we will walk, and then we want God and Jesus in the background to say, yeah, that's okay, do whatever you like. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our lives. Jesus wants to be the one who calls us and directs us and gives us the path to walk. And the challenge of faith is to believe, is to hang with Jesus, is to trust that his way is the right way, as challenging as it may be sometimes. And the promise of the gospel is that if we do it, if we stick with Jesus, if we follow the path that he gives us, then in the end, we will see God's glory revealed.
Amen, amen.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.